This morning, our scripture is found in the book of John, chapter 17. And first of all, Jesus prays for himself in that chapter, and then he prays for his disciples. And in the verses I'm going to read, 20 through 26, Jesus prays for all of the believers. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. You may be seated.
Let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you a story.
I've got a story to tell.
I've got a story to tell.
A Jesus story.
Story.
We don't get anything from God unless we pray for it, I believe. Although he does, he's kind to those who are not saved as well. He provides for all of us. But I think he has a special gift for us as we pray for those who need prayer. Johnson. This is my story, but which properly could be called our story. My husband, Russell, and I began our story when we were married in 1946, and we began teaching in the Ray School. I went to a Youth for Christ meeting in International Falls one evening, and during the meeting, I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ, and I became a changed person. I was very happy, and I was very peaceful. But Russell did not understand this. But he was a very good man, so he was very eager to make us happy. He was a good father. He allowed us to go to church. In fact, he even went to church with us as kind of a sign that's saying, hey, I'm a good father. So anyway, things changed in our marriage. He was not interested in focusing on Christ at this time. The children and I spent our night times in the bedroom talking about God and praying for Daddy and for other people in the family. That was a wonderful time. I'd never want to give that up. Well, anyway, the story has a change. God had a plan, and this was his plan. Our preacher's son, Ellen, and his wife, Elaine, came to our community after they had had a session with a church planting. It was a very hard job they had, and they wanted to have a rest for a short time. Well, this was the plan. God sent them for here for a time like this. He had our church realize that our son needed a position, and as my son was He was actually praying for God's leading in his life to see, where do we go? And our church hired him as an associate pastor and his wife as a music director. This was wonderful because Russell had stopped going to church after our children grew older, and now he was back in church and hearing good messages. One Sunday when Ellen had the opportunity of preaching, he preached on the need to be born again, about how to accept Christ as your Savior. Russell commended him for this sermon, and he said, "That is the best sermon I've ever heard you preach." And at that time, Ellen realized that he had made a decision. We realized it. And Russell was very, very pleased to be able to go and take communion, because now he was ready with God. He has passed away from the old life into a new life. And we all realized just how thankful we were. Many people could see a difference in his life. And it made us also very happy. He was good to us. He was good with the nurses that he was being taken care of. And now, as time went on, we realized he was going to be leaving us. But it was a bittersweet time. We knew that we were going to see, we were going to meet each other again. And that was so wonderful. I would like to tell people who have been praying for a long time, do not give up. Don't give up. God does answer prayer in his own way, in his own time. We prayed for a long time, but God gave us good results. I have something funny that kind of funny that I'd like to add to this. My daughter-in-law was talking to her 5-year-old one evening about God and that we have to be prepared to go to heaven. And so he asked his mom, "Is there anyone in our family who doesn't love Jesus?" And she said, "I don't know about Grandpa Johnson." And he's, "Oh, but yes, I have to tell you, Mom, yes, he does, because when I went back, when I went to International Falls and saw Grandpa the last time, I told him, you have to love Jesus or you can't go to heaven. So I know he loves Jesus."
In many ways, this is a sermon I hope I don't have to preach, because I think we've all been busy praying for loved ones who don't know Jesus yet. And this sermon series is called Bless, and really it begins with prayer. If we truly want to bless other people, we want to pray for them. And you know, some of us maybe were distracted by the knocking that took place in the video. But in many ways, prayer is like knocking on heaven's door for people to come to Christ. We're asking God to knock on hearts and to wake them up and come to salvation, come to Christ. And I don't know, Connie, did you take my notes and look at them? Because the first thing I was going to say about John 17 is this is Jesus's prayer. And initially, in the first part of John 17, Jesus prays for himself because he's going to the cross, and he's going to the cross to die for you, me, the world. And then he prays for his disciples, that they would be prepared for the ministry that they would fulfill after Jesus' death and resurrection. And then he prays for the church, for you and me. If you look at that passage, Jesus says, "I pray for those who will believe." And he prays that the world would believe in him. Jesus prayed for us long before we were an apple and a twinkle in our parents' and grandparents' eyes. Jesus had us in mind. Even before he went to the cross, he knew that he was going to need to pray for us. Isn't that comforting? To know that the one who went to the cross to die for us prayed for us. Jesus literally did it all, didn't he? He did it all for us. There's so little that we have done for our salvation. So when it comes to salvation, really, we need to give glory, honor, and praise to Christ, because our part is simply to receive it, to accept it. And I just want to encourage us, if Jesus, I still have this lingering cough, but if Jesus did this for us, how then should we respond? And really, I just have four things of how we should respond. One, it teaches us that He really loves us. He really loves us. Two, it teaches us that we should respond to His love by receiving and accepting Him as the Savior and Lord of our lives. Three, it means we should no longer want to sin, that we should want to live a glorious, sin-free, holy life. And fourth, if He prayed for us, we should pray for others. If we can just get our hands around that and live like that, we can make a world of difference if we will simply do those four things. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, I'm pretty confident about this one thing. Somebody or somebodies prayed for you. Somebody, long before you said yes to Jesus, took you to Jesus and prayed for you. It might have been a mother, a grandmother, a father, a grandfather, a Sunday school teacher, a camp counselor, but somebody took time and prayed for you. Isn't that wonderful? That someone cared enough before you knew Jesus to sit there and took your name, took you before God in heaven and said, Lord, I pray that Connie will come to know Christ. I pray that David will come to know Christ. I pray that Gordon will come to know Christ. And I want you to know, I hope you're so thankful for those people who prayed for you. And you can do the very same thing for another human being. Isn't that wonderful? And as we just saw this, I mean, do I really need to preach about this after Violet shared her testimony? I mean, I feel like, what do I have to say now? This great saint who has faithfully prayed, who faithfully prayed for her husband to come to know Christ, who has faithfully prayed for her family members to come to know Christ. You know, this idea is so simple. It's so profound. And yet, busyness gets in the way, doesn't it? Other things get in the way from us praying for people to come to know Christ. Jerry Bridges, in this book, actually it's The Greatest Lessons, and I've shared this with you before, but I have to share it with you again. These are famous Christian individuals who share life's greatest lessons that they have learned. And Ted DeMoss was an insurance salesman before he became a Christian speaker. But he shares this story. He says, in the course of my job selling insurance, I walked into an apartment building one day to call on a man whose name had been sent to my office in response to a direct mail program. I went to the door of his third floor apartment and knocked. The man inside spoke through the door without opening it. Who's out there? I had learned that in selling insurance, you never say the insurance man, because people might not open the door. So I just replied, thankfully, I'm Ted DeMoss. So I stood outside the door of the third floor apartment and waited. The man inside bristled defensively. If I open this door, I'll throw you down the stairs. Now get away from my door. Since I sincerely thought that he had inquired about insurance, I persisted. Mister, I'm not going to hurt you. please open the door. I've got to talk with you. I fully intended to talk to this man about insurance, but when he opened the door, I realized there was no point in that. Before me stood a man with a white beard who looked like a thin Santa Claus. I hadn't been in the business long, but I knew he was too old to buy any insurance. I might sell him. Looking directly at me, he demanded, "I opened the door. Now what do you want to talk about?" "I want to come in and talk with you." "What do you want to talk about?" he snapped. I persisted, "May I come in?" As I spoke, the Spirit of God impressed me to talk with this man, a complete stranger, about Jesus Christ. At age 25, I had never done that before. Finally, he stepped aside and said, "Come in then." I entered, and we both sat down on the couch in the living room. Looking straight at me, the elderly man asked curiously, "What do you want to talk about?" I paused just for a moment, then said the only thing that came to my mind. "I want to read the Bible to you." Talk about no training in witnessing for Christ. I had no preparation for what was about to happen. My friends had told me that the third chapter of John is a good place to start. He said, "Go ahead." "I don't have a Bible," I said weakly. "Do you have one?" He looked puzzled at me for a moment. "I don't know whether I have a Bible or not. I've been blind for many years." I asked if I could look around the apartment for one, and he agreed. After a brief search, I found a Bible covered with dust on top of a stack of books. Walking back to the couch, I opened the Bible to the third chapter of John and began to read slowly. The further I read, the more scared I felt. So I read slower and slower, deliberately, until I got to verse 18. "He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I finished that verse praying silently for the Lord to give me wisdom as to what I should do. I looked over at the old man, and what I saw shocked me. His beard was wet with tears. God had indeed spoken to this man through his word. "Sir, would you like to receive Jesus Christ into your life right now? Right here?" I said softly. The man nodded thoughtfully. "Well, I would like to do it right now, but not here." "Where do you want to do it?" "I want to do it with my mother." Mentally, I was scratching my head. This man had told me he was 81, and I thought, what do I say now? I decided to ask, "Where is your mother?" "In the kitchen," he pointed. Thinking he had a picture of his mother, hanging in the kitchen, I suppose he wanted to go there for sentimental reasons. We made our way back to the kitchen, and to my surprise, there was his mother sitting in a canvas-backed chair. She was 98 years old and an invalid. I can still hear the man's words as if he were speaking them today. "Mother, God has sent a man to our house. He's been reading the Bible, and I'm going to accept Jesus Christ." I've never heard anyone scream like she did in my entire life. When she regained control of her emotions, the aged woman said an amazing thing. "Mister, I don't know who you are, but I've prayed for my boy every day for over 80 years. Her son and I got on our knees, and I had the joy of praying with him and seeing him come to Christ. God had answered two prayers, hers of 80 years and mine of just a few weeks, in which I asked God if I could help someone come to know Christ. Prayer. My friend Scott Schaefer says that prayer is the real work. The rest is mopping up when it comes to evangelism. And we're going to watch a video, a YouTube video. And the reason why you each got a Tootsie Pop as you entered is because there's a lesson in the Tootsie Pop commercial that most of us grew up seeing. Now, the next service, when the younger people are here, they're going to go, I don't remember that commercial. But we all remember this commercial, don't we? So let's see this commercial.
Mr. Cow.
Yes?
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Yeah, I don't know. I always end up biting. Ask Mr. Fox, for he's much cleverer than I.
Mr. Fox, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Why don't you ask Mr. Turtle, for he's been around a lot longer than I. Me? I bite.
Mr. Turtle. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl, for he is the wisest of us all.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
A good question. Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart owl.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
What is the lesson? Well, I think the lesson is this. We live in a culture today that is so immediate. We want things now. And we treat life like a Tootsie Pop. Or we treat prayer like a Tootsie Pop. Well, I prayed once, I prayed twice, I prayed three times. Why didn't God answer the prayer? And why isn't so-and-so, my friend, my family member, a Christian yet? What if prayer is something we're supposed to do for a lot longer? What if we're supposed to pray for years? For a child to come back to Christ or come to Christ. And so I gave you this Tootsie Pop as a reminder. And I hope every time you see a Tootsie Pop, you think, I need to pray. I need to pray for so-and-so to come to know Christ. Back when I was in high school as a junior, you know how it is. You're in school and there's, you know, you're interested in girls if you're a guy, and if you're a girl, you're interested in guys the way it should be. In our world today, it's maybe not that way, but there was a girl I kind of liked. Her name was Julie Albright, and but there was one problem. I believed in Jesus, and she did not, and for one crazy reason, she was going on a retreat with her church. And I started to pray that Julie would come to know Christ. And because of maybe, you know, you have this crush or whatever on the person, you can't get the person out of your mind. You pray. I prayed for her well over 40 times that weekend that she would come to Christ. Well, nothing ever came of the crush, but Julie became a believer that weekend in Christ. Maybe that was the reason, the time, the place in which I was meant to have that crush on her. So God even works in that way, but really God worked through prayer, did he not? And so this morning, without going into any further detail, as we started this series on Bless, you got this in the bulletin. And you've probably seen something like this before. Back when our denomination did Bringing My World to Christ, this is kind of an updated version of that. You have two slips that you can tear off in the bulletin. And really what it is you're supposed to choose 3 to 5 or more people in your life that you're connected with, family members, friends, co-workers, fellow students, neighbors, that you don't know where they are with Christ. And you are to write their names down and put it somewhere, probably your Bible as a bookmark, and then to start praying for them and to make this faithful. The other part, you're to rip off and you are to give it to the church, to us, so that we can pray for them as a large group of people. And we've done this maybe 3 years ago or so, and we have faithfully prayed for people to come to know Christ. And so what I really want you to do is to take a minute or two and to write down those names at this time. One for you and one for us as a church, so that we can start to pray for the lost. And so just take a minute or two here and start writing down names. And I don't know, Seth, do you have some music that you could put on for us as we go through the work? You don't, okay. That's okay. So take some time and write those names down. If you have not had enough time, we will be collecting these at the end of the service today. And if you still want more time, please bring them back so that we can pray for them. One thing you need to know is these will be kept confidential. We're not going to, you know, broadcast that, you know, so-and-so is praying for so-and-so, because you know, that could appear to be somewhat offensive to those that you're praying for. We want to keep that confidential. But we are going to pray for them at this time. Holy Father, there are family members and friends that we love. There are relatives, there's acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students that we have relationships with that need Jesus. And Lord, we know that our ability is very, very small in helping them come to know you. But we trust the Holy Spirit who convinces and convicts and converts people to yourself. And we pray along with Jesus that the world may believe, that the world may believe in you. And so, Lord, we begin with prayer this morning. We begin with prayer, but we don't stop there. We want to continue to pray, prompt and tug and pull us to pray each and every day for these people on our lists. And Lord, we want to see salvations. We want to see a movement in our communities that people are coming to Christ on a regular basis. We want to see the blessing of you at work through us and through your Holy Spirit. We pray this all in your name, Jesus.